Raiders fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It's the week of the 4th of July or Independence Day. Not yet, but later this week. But before we get to that, we have some Packers talk we're going to get to this morning. We continue our series with the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com. We have Thomas Hobbs joining us on the show this morning. He's on the line right now. Thomas, how you doing?
Happy Canada Day.
Is today Canada Day?
Indeed it is. So even though I'm still waiting for July 4th, it is actually the Independence Day for Canada right now.
Is there any significance in Canada of the 4th of July?
The 4th of July in Canada? No.
Oh, okay. So
basically, the 4th of July in Canada is July 1st.
Okay. For our listeners that don't know, we had you on the show last year, I think, but it's been a long time. Tell them, where do you live right now?
So actually, I live in Vancouver in Canada. So I'm actually in America. I'm just up here for work, but so it's a little bit different. Unfortunately, I have to work on the 4th of July, but I get today off. So,
well, it's up pretty early on the West Coast, I would say.
me and Jason have the same problem.
Well, thank you for getting up so early to talk a little Packers football. I hope I didn't. Was I your alarm clock this morning?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, there are worse ways to spend 6 o'clock or 6:30 a.m., I suppose, than talking Packers football. But anyway, Thomas, I wanted to talk about a couple topics making headlines lately. Just this past weekend, a couple of former Packers made headlines. Hall of Famer Dave Robinson, former Packers tight end Gary Nafflick, talking about, you know, not getting benefits from the NFL for retired players and basically the state of the NFL, playing a violent game, bodies deteriorating. Do you find yourself, when you watch football, too much helmet-to-helmet contact? And what could be done about this being such a violent game?
Yeah, so I think in terms of compensation for football players, I think everything is okay outside of concussions, which you had alluded to. So actually I had a chance to listen to a lecture by Dr. Douglas Smith, and he is the director of the Center of Brain Injury and Repair in the University of Pennsylvania, and he's also affiliated with the NIH. And I think he alluded to the fact that he was actually one of the doctors who got a chance to look at Junior Seau's brain when it was donated to science, in essence. And basically he mentions that, you know, about 15 to 20% of all these brain injuries only require one incidence of impact. So, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. And then the second issue is that really there's no indication of how long it takes for you to really heal that damage. So I think most scientists right now are saying that essentially any one event of traumatic brain injury is enough to, you know, have serious complications later on. But I think in terms of maybe possible solutions for the head-to-head contact, while it may not be possible to actually reduce the limit, I think they should really get a better indication of when players are actually concussed. So, I mean, I've always thought one smart thing to do would just be to put like a sensor in a helmet. And basically, you know, once the sensor trips over a certain amount of pressure or impact, right, I think, you know, the neurologist should pull off the player and see if anything's gone wrong. I mean, if you think about it, if UPS can stick an impact, you know, sticker on your package to make sure that it hasn't been dropped, I mean, I think the NFL can do a little bit better than that, right?
Yeah, that brings up a good point. Certainly that, you know, that more things could be done in terms of monitoring, measuring what players are doing right now and the impact they're taking, especially their head, but really anywhere could be. I mean, is there going to be change, do you think, we see at any point in time?
I think the big problem, right, is that it's actually, for the long-term effects, the times where players are actually knocked out of the game is the times where it's actually not as likely. So the time that Dr. Smith mentioned that we're actually the worst case is when the head is actually torqued. So when you imagine, you know, someone's head snapping, that's actually when it's the worst for sort of long-term effects. But those are the injuries that typically players manage to play through. So every time you see a player get knocked out, usually that's not actually the issue.
Huh. That is interesting. I'll plead ignorance. I don't know a whole lot about that issue in particular, so I don't know how much I can add, but that's definitely something that's new to me. But anyway, continuing on other Packers topics here, you know, there was kind of a debate last week about JerMichael Finley and in the wake of the whole Aaron Hernandez thing with the New England Patriots, his being released, whether JerMichael Finley might be traded to the New England Patriots. It's been proposed, it's been speculated about. But all of a sudden this past week I heard, well, not just JerMichael Finley, maybe a more realistic and a more likely target of the Patriots would be tight end DJ Williams, who hasn't got a whole lot of playing time with the Packers, but he's kind of a young, unknown player a little bit, or an unknown quantity. What do you think of DJ Williams, and do you think there's any chance the Packers would trade a player like that?
I would say in terms of trading, Ted Thompson's not really going to pull the trigger unless it's a absolutely great deal. So I think, you know, Williams was a fifth round pick, and I would assume that they'd want at least a round up from that. So you're thinking about a fourth round. And then you have to take into consideration the fact that the Patriots are always, you know, a really good team that are going to go to the playoffs, especially with Tom Brady still there. So, I mean, realistically, regardless of what pick it is, it's going to be a late round pick. So then I would think for Thompson, he's looking for a low third round pick. Are the Patriots really going to, you know, give up a pick like that for a player who honestly hasn't really shown much? I don't know. I think the second issue that a lot of people have thought of is, of course, that if this really is JerMichael Finley's last year, DJ Williams definitely has to step up. Personally, I really think that if John Kuhn isn't retained this year or next year, DJ Williams becomes a lot more important, because I think next John Kuhn as opposed to the next JerMichael Finley.
Yeah, perhaps that's the case, but I just thought that was an interesting topic, seeing as how much was spoken about JerMichael Finley this past week. We're talking to Thomas Hobbs of allgreenbaypackers.com here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV this morning. Thomas, I wanted to bring up your latest article written at allgreenbaypackers.com, a little bit of a controversial one about the potential of Aaron Rodgers being too old for the Green Bay Packers. And now I assume you mean by the end of Rodgers' contract, may he be too old. Is that how you intended it? And could you maybe go into that a little bit?
Yes, that article. I think I must have written it a little poorly, I guess, in my own honesty. But basically, what I was sort of going for was one of the reasons I had felt that actually Brett Favre had such an acrimonious divorce from the Packers was that he wasn't able to relate very well to a lot of his team. And the reason I say that is because twofold. The first thing is that, you know, Brett Favre is at a different stage in his career in 2008 than basically the rest of the squad, right? So, I mean, he's this, you know, this MVP player. You know, he's won a Super Bowl. He has all these accolades. He has all these, you know, records. So, I mean, what is Brett Favre really trying to do? He's trying to win a Super Bowl, right? But then if you take a look at sort of the team that Ted Thompson has made, everyone's, you know, really, really young. He's, you know, doesn't have that many established stars, right? But there's a lot of really good players in the, like, their direction. You know, it's hard for Brett Favre to really get behind, you know, a building team when he's only got a couple of years left. And second thing was really just in terms of the age itself. I wasn't saying that, you know, the Packers were going to drop either Favre or Rodgers because they were too old. But basically, it's harder to relate to people when they're, you know, 10 years younger than you. I mean, imagine Aaron Rodgers right now. He's almost going to be 30. There's rumors that he may be married. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, a next couple of years. And now, you know, look at your average 21-year-old. I mean, who all he wants to do is have fun and, you know, party. I got criticism for that. Yes, not all 21-year-olds only think about girls and, you know, drinking and having fun. But there's definitely those types of players as well, right? And, you know, can he really be able to connect to someone, you know, significantly younger than him? And who knows, right? And I think the sort of the dichotomy between Favre and Rodgers is that sooner or later, Rodgers is going to run into the same issue if Ted Thompson continues to, you know, run the Packers like he has. So, I mean, just looking at it now, I mean, outside of Rodgers, you have, you know, Ryan Pickett. And then the next oldest, I think, is Jared Bush, who's like only 29, right? So, I mean, realistically, the team is always going to be very young under Ted Thompson. And Rodgers is just too good to, you know, to release because of his age. But there is going to be this, I think, conflict that we saw with Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers. It just really depends on how Rodgers decides to deal with it.
Do you think it was a mistake to extend Rodgers perhaps as long as they did? Not that it was a mistake to extend him, but, you know, adding on basically 5 extra years onto his existing contract, which would make it 7 years overall.
Oh, no, I think that's one of the things that people got a little bit confused with my articles. I don't think that, you know, I thought that the signing was a great idea. I thought that, you know, 5 extra years is fine. I don't think, given the amount of guaranteed money that Rodgers most likely wanted, that they could have made it any shorter. The cap hit would have just been too high.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's a good issue to have, right? To have a quarter, to have such quarterback stability for so long that you have to deal with these other things, especially when you consider that, you know, a lot of NFL teams are recycling, you know, going through their quarterbacks every, you know, 1 or 2 seasons, having a, you know, the same quarterback play for, you know, potentially 15 years or something. You know, that's a, I'll take that any day, but it's just something to consider.
So I guess I'll ask this, is there anything that can be done about it? And 5-6 years down the road, is there, do you have to surround Aaron Rodgers with older players at that point in his career, or is it just a necessary evil?
I think if you give him like at least 1 or 2 of, you know, his guys, mm-hmm. like, I mean, say, for instance, James Jones, since that seems to be a big point of contention right now that, you know, Rodgers went to bat for Jones during free agency a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, say if James Jones manages to stick on the Packers for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, he'll have someone roughly in his age who's, you know, sort of gone through his career with Rodgers and, you know, has sort of the same experiences. I think that would have, you know, a good benefit for sort of Rodgers' relationship with the team. It's just to have some other players that aren't, you know, as young as, you know, the undrafted rookies or the rookies coming in every year. Someone just that he can relate to.
Very interesting idea and an interesting debate here about this. It's long down the road, but an interesting topic nonetheless. Before I let you go, Thomas, I want to pick your brain on one more topic that's been in the news lately. There were a couple columns, I think, written in Wisconsin this past week, Wisconsin State Journal, about this upcoming reality show on TBS about Green Bay Packers fans. Would you watch such a show, you know, knowing the reality television and what it is and the sensationalism of it? And do you have interest in watching that type of television show?
I just have a really bad feeling about it, actually, because, I mean, there's all these, like, there's a wide range of Packers fans, right? There's the Packers fans who are, you know, very well knowledgeable, you know, they know their team, they understand the game, they understand what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're still fans. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there's a guy who, you know, the guys who wanted to kill Aaron Rodgers for being a starter in 2008, or the guys who wanted to fire the entire coaching staff after, you know, the 15-1 season in 2011, like, and then if you think about reality TV show, like, you know who's going to get picked, right? It's the guy who wants to kill Aaron Rodgers because he took over for Brett Favre. So, I mean, that's just the way it is with reality TV. And I don't know even if it's a Packers fan, I'd really be excited to watch it. I think, in all honesty, it's just going to make all the rest of us look bad.
It's just a bad feeling you have in your gut that's the type of fan they're going to get on that show.
Prove me wrong and they'll find some, you know, some really great fans that, you know, aren't like complete retards. But I just have a feeling that, knowing, you know, how reality TV works, they're gonna pick like, the most divisive, the most ignorant, the most, angry Packers fan they can find. And, you're just gonna see TV of him like yelling at his screen, why didn't you run the ball? Why didn't you, throw it to, Jermichael Finley, because Jermichael Finley's the best. And Mike McCarthy doesn't know what he's doing. I can play this game on, PS3 or whatever. And, that just makes me cringe. Like, I mean, I'm well aware of, my own football limitations in terms of acumen. So, I mean, like, I completely think, let McCarthy do his job, let Thompson do his job, let Rodgers do his job. Like, I just have this really bad feeling, basically.
Well, we'll find out how it goes. But regardless, thank you so much, Thomas, for joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central, in part of our continuing series featuring the writers there at allgreenbaypackers.com. But we appreciate it, and happy Canada Day.
Yeah, happy Canada Day.
All
Cheers.
right, cheers. We'll see you later. Thomas Hobbs of allgreenbaypackers.com joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us this morning. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday, July 1st, Canada Day, having a Packers writer from Canada join us on the show. And we'll be celebrating our own independence in just 3 days' time down the road. So this will actually be the last episode of Railbird Central this week as we celebrate the 4th of July here at Cheesehead TV. But for the time being, we're continuing to talk about the Green Bay Packers and topics that are in the news lately. And I'll give some of my own thoughts on some of the topics we talked about with Thomas here, about retired NFL players. And I think that's kind of the topic du jour, as over the weekend there were articles. Let's see, the one on Gary Nafleck was first appeared at NBC 26 in Green Bay, the television station. An interview with him kind of talking about not receiving proper benefits from the NFL for older players. The younger players, the younger generation, do now. They do receive a pension and things like that from the NFL. I think after they meet so many years of service. If I'm correct, that's 4 years, I think. But that, and then an article on Dave Robinson, the future Hall of Famer, the guy who's going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this summer. In fact, not too long. We're in the month of July, and it happens in the month of July. So just a few weeks down the road here, and Dave Robinson's going to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. But yeah, so. Dave Robinson talking about how they improperly teach tackling in the NFL. And I thought that was a little bit of a divisive article, and I haven't published it yet. And perhaps if you're listening to the podcasted version of the show, you'll be able to read it by the time that we get around to posting the show online. But in this morning's Packers Daily Links, I'm going to take a look at it. And Dave Robinson talks about, the art of tackling in the NFL, and it really says they taught it much better back then, and kind of bemoans a little bit the how tackling is taught in the NFL, and how you're doing it with your heads up, and he really thinks that's a mistake, and this is being taught everywhere, to tackle with your head up, and that's the way I learned it as well. Because you don't want to get that jarring, head-on-head collision and compress the spine. And I can see that. But Dave Robinson says that shouldn't be the way it goes. And says, the head should really be down, but tackling lower, hitting a player where they fold, tackling them at the height of the football, which is generally carried around the waist area. Things like that. And it's very much the way he proposes tackling be done in the NFL. It is very much the way it's not taught nowadays, compared to, in my youth football days, which weren't that long ago. I'm 33 years old, so I was playing days were a little more than a decade ago. But even just things I see television, just watching the NFL nowadays, there is heads up tackling, but a lot of it, I think, being helmet to helmet tackling. And that's kind of, I think, where some of the issues come in. That's definitely something you don't want to see. And as we were talking about with Thomas, kind of another problem being the whiplash effect, and that being some of the most dangerous, issues in the NFL in terms of head injuries, and that have the most longest lasting effects, or perhaps the biggest effects on a football player. A fascinating issue. I wish, I was a doctor and I could speak more eloquently on the topic. Obviously these are things that the medical community has to get better in tuned with, and I don't know what the answer is. It's tough to say, but it is an interesting issue being brought up by former NFL players, and that's what's been making headlines lately, and it gives you food for thought a little bit, if nothing else. I don't know what the correct answer is, but gives you pause a little bit and makes you think about, where the game of football is headed nowadays, and the way it should be headed. And I don't know which way that is exactly, but once again, interesting topic, a debate here. A couple other topics we talked about with Thomas. The topic of tight end DJ Williams and where he's at in his NFL career, his progression, and is he perhaps a potential trade target for the New England Patriots, just days after JerMichael Finley being thrown about as a potential trade target? Is a more likely one actually DJ Williams? I wish I had this off the top of my head here. I saw it suggested, actually, our own Aaron Nagler here of Cheesehead TV had brought that up, not as a piece of item, a something he's heard, or it just bringing up as a possibility that maybe DJ Williams is a more likely potential trade target than JerMichael Finley, but not just from Aaron Nagler. Had seen that it was brought to my attention in a blog post at LombardiAv.com, another Packers blog. We've had Ray Rivard here on the show in the past, who's the editor there at LombardiAv, and he had kind of talked about the topic, also being brought up from a beat writer of the New England Patriots, talking about potentially bringing DJ Williams again in. And again, not that this was this is actual speculation or that trade talks are taking place, but just wondering that, the Packers have the depth at tight end. Maybe if JerMichael Finley isn't a target, maybe DJ Williams more likely, and I sit here and wonder myself, I don't think any of these things are likely to happen. Although it's hard to dismiss them entirely. Trade proposals, things like that, trade rumors. Any trade that happens in the NFL, not any, but so many just kind of come out of the blue, things that you never hear of before. They just kind of happen, and then you're left with the analysis afterwards, and you're not really always, outside of maybe just a little bit of prior notice. These things just come out of the blue, and you never know when they're going to happen. And I don't think it's going to be likely that the Packers would trade DJ Williams, but I sit here and I wonder myself, is he perhaps a more likely target of the Patriots than JerMichael Finley? Or, just because JerMichael Finley's an integral part of the Packers offense, he's got the most experience there on the team. Maybe the Packers are more willing to depart with a player who's younger, has potential, has a lot of untapped potential yet, DJ Williams still has a lot to prove in his career with the Green Bay Packers. He's been with the team for 2 years and hasn't done a whole lot as of yet. I mean, he has what, maybe a dozen career catches in the NFL. That you know, he hasn't done all that much in a Packers uniform. He's seen playing time. You actually see more of him in the preseason, where he's actually kind of made a name for himself in each of the past 2 summers during training camp. It kind of flashes that potential that makes you say, hey, this guy, you know, has some talent and has what it takes. But when it comes to the regular season, has never really put it all together. And, you know, it hasn't been entirely his fault in that, you know, he hasn't received a ton of playing time in the regular season as compared to a guy like JerMichael Finley. I mean, part of that is DJ Williams' own fault as well, in that he's not showing enough to get the playing time. But, you know, the playing time he has gotten has come sparingly. So perhaps you think maybe if he would play more, yeah, maybe he would do better. Maybe he'd start seeing more passes thrown his way, things like that. You know, whether it's with the Packers, whether it's with the Patriots or whatever, it could be kind of a make or break season for DJ Williams. And I suppose you could say that about a lot of third year players in the NFL. But really, I mean, it could be a case of that where, you know, he's got to show something this year, in that he's going to be either a contributor or, you know, he's not. He's, you know, because the type of veterans in the NFL, the type of guys who have a dozen career catches, they don't last long if you're a veteran in the NFL. DJ Williams has to start showing he's going to be a part of an offense. You know, not to say he's got to be a star, not to say he's got to be the leading target on the team, but no matter where he ends up, I mean, he's got to show something this year and prove that he's, you know, he has the ability to stick around, that he's got to show there's longevity there for him in the NFL, that he can stick around and be a part of an offense that, you know, used in a weapon of some sort, whether it's receiving or blocking or whatever. And, you know, talking DJ Williams, I mean, he's more of a receiving threat than he is a blocking threat. It is kind of nice. He's been utilized as kind of that H-back tight end a little bit by the Packers, you know, lining up in the backfield from time to time. Never really been known as a devastating blocker, either pass blocking or run blocking. But, you know, does have a little bit of natural movement ability, though. The type of guy you can flex outside, type of guy that can play in line occasionally, not often, but the type of guy that can line up as an H-back in the backfield too. So that's a, you know, the good aspects of DJ Williams, and those are the strengths he brings to the table. Hello to Chris Garrard checking in on the live blog. Being the 1st of July here, I don't think we have too much activity in our live chat going on today, as most people are on vacation this week, but glad to have you, those who are joining us, tuning in this morning and checking out the show. I mean, being here at 9 o'clock, that kind of concludes our discussion on DJ Williams and the Packers in general today. Today is the last day of the week you're going to hear Railbird Central because of the 4th of July, because of Independence Day. Normally, we air 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, here at CheeseheadTV.com at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, but just Monday this week. So we'll actually be seeing you next week. A week from today will be the next time we're on air. So going to take the rest of the week off. I'm going to be celebrating Independence Day myself this week, taking in some music concerts, taking in some baseball games, so excited for that. But we'll see you later, everybody, folks. It's been good talking Packers football. Have a good 4th of July. Have a good vacation to any of those of you who might be doing that. But we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.